President wins a round in a court fight over EPA grants as a divided appeals panel rules challengers took that fight to the wrong place.
In a 2-1 decision, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit ruled that a lower court judge was wrong to block the Environmental Protection Agency from freezing $16 billion worth of contracts for nonprofits to run a green bank aimed at financing climate-friendly projects. The court finding that judge lacked the jurisdiction to hear the case. Climate United Fund and other nonprofits suing the EPA, its administrator Lee Zeldin, and Citibank, which held the grant money, alleging they had illegally denied the group's access to the funds authorized under former President Joe Biden. The Trump administration has argued the program is a waste of taxpayer money.
Fox's Christine Goodwin. Today's ruling says the plaintiffs should go to federal claims court. Kraft Heinz is splitting into two companies a decade after the merger that created one of the biggest food companies on earth. Net revenue for Kraft Heinz has fallen every year since 2020. A fast food giant is trying to win back customers turned off by high prices.
Next Monday, McDonald's is bringing back its extra value meals, discontinued in 2019, charging 15% less than the price of the items individually. It's 8 different entrees with hash browns and a small coffee for breakfast, medium fries, and a drink other times. Prices vary by location, with an extra promotion to start, $8 Big Mac meals and a $5 sausage McMuffin meal in most of the country. The change comes after a second quarter of the year with a double-digit drop in visits by lower-income customers. McDonald's says the average price of its menu items rose 40% between 2019 and last year to account for a 40% increase and the cost of labor, packaging, and food. Chris Foster, Fox News.
An hour to the close on Wall Street. A sell-off continues, though not quite as deep. Right now, the Dow's down 386. The S&P and the NASDAQ down more than 1%. I'm Lisa Brady. This is Fox News.
Setting up camp is some of the most challenging work in hunting. Doing it right makes all the difference. Visit Frontier Outfitters. You'll be camping in style. Find the right gear, a great selection of tents, even wall tents, tent wood stoves, stoves by MSR Jet Boil and Coleman, sleeping bags by Kelly, Mountain Hardware, and more. Thermarest mattresses. Transport it all with ATV accessories and trailers. Pick up everything for your comfortable, successful hunting camp from Frontier Outfitters today. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long.
Good morning. You're tuned into Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for he who cannot be named. We're going to have an open line program this morning. Anything that is on your mind, give us a call, and we will try and address it. And the number to call if you want to participate is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And with that, we will get going. So we have some things that are going on that I have been following and involved with. One thing that I noticed in the paper a few days ago is that the school district has the draft of the social studies curriculum published on their website, and they are soliciting comments from the public. Anyone who is interested in the social studies curriculum should give the go to the website, find that page on their website, and it was pretty easy to find. And you can review what their curriculum currently, the draft curriculum currently amounts to. And they do have the course materials and whatever. So that is an important thing. The cycle for curriculum review is every 6 years. So if you're interested in the social studies curriculum, there is a draft out that the school board and the school district would like to hear your thoughts on, and now is the time to get involved in that. And then when that process plays itself out in the next over the next couple of months, then the next thing they'll be starting on is the math curriculum. And that will be just a start. So you can take a look at the current math curriculum and provide your input, and that will really be important. You'll be in on the front end of that process, and it's something to be following if you are interested in those. And now is the time to get involved, first in the curriculum committee where they have the draft out, and then you can review the existing math curriculum and see where they're going on that, and you will be in on the ground floor of the curriculum review for math. So, and if you're interested in that, you can give me a call. We can talk about it. The number to call is 458-8255, 458-TALK, or you can contact the school district and take a look at that and send your comments into the school district. So, there's one. The other thing that is going on at the state level for education is the funding, the foundation funding formula for education. And that was the subject of a bill that passed and got vetoed in the legislature. The governor called us in for a special session. That really didn't happen. And the legislature has organized a task force to look at public school funding, state-level funding. And there's a lot involved with that. The task force met about a week ago. They're going to be holding their next meeting in October. And in the meantime, we can take a look at what they've proposed. That's on the state legislature's website under committees, special committees, and you can go to that and find the hearing that was held, the audio of the hearing, get an idea of where they're going on that. And I'm frankly a little bit, more than a little bit, disappointed that we didn't just get started. We had an opportunity. The governor called us in for a special session. Yes, he was infringing on legislators' summer activities, but we're there to do a job. And that is a fairly complex question to deal with, and I had wished that at least the education committees from both the House and the Senate could have moved forward on that. But that didn't happen. The legislative leadership decided to just take care of the veto overrides, and then they recessed until the 19th of this month, a few days ago, and they met again and just had a technical session, they call it, where they recessed until the 31st, which happened, and so that was the end of the special session. The governor has decided against just calling another special session right away, but he is very adamant. He wants to see something done on education, finance reform, and also on some of the policies that need to be looked at during the upcoming session. So that session doesn't officially start until this coming January, but again, we can keep looking at that, and if you have any ideas about state funding for education, now really is the time to start looking at that. The task force as you had learned from the meeting that they had a week ago, they had a lot of great ideas, but they still haven't focused in on a few things, and that's what we need to do. And what I hope they do is that they need to, A, take a look at the overall financial picture for the state revenue. The state needs to come up with a more specific long-term fiscal plan, because we are facing considerably less revenue than we were 10 years ago, and we have pretty well spent through the savings accounts that are available, and now we're getting to the point where there are no alternatives other than making some adjustments or going somewhere else to get the money. And those of you that are interested in the permanent fund, that is going to be, well, that has been the place where the legislature has focused on getting, well, not more revenue, but taking revenue that went into permanent fund dividends, appropriating that for education and other spending that people are asking for to support other programs. But that's down to the point where next year, if things continue as they are, there won't even be enough money from the dividend. We're probably looking at close to just zeroing out the dividend, frankly. I'm really concerned about that next year. So we got to really take an interest in that and see if we can come up with some better ideas. So anyway, we have a quarter past the hour. We're going to take a little break. At this point, here's some words from our sponsors, get a weather report, and we will be right back. So stick with us.
On KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
A dependable heating system is essential for rural communities. No matter the season, no matter where you live, the Woodway has the Toyotomi to keep you warm. Toyotomi heaters are the most economical heating solution, lightweight and easy to transport. So whether your home is in town or out in the bush, you'll enjoy its ease and comfort. Toyotomi heaters come with an installation kit and Wi-Fi capabilities, so you can make sure your house doesn't freeze when you're out of state. Toyotomi, the Alaskan way, the right way, the wood way.
Every house has windows, and when you have questions about purchasing new ones, where do you go? No, you don't ask Google. And if you did, it should tell you to go ask Steve at Glass Solutions for all your window and door-related questions. Steve's Alaska's expert with more than 30 years' experience selling Artigrade windows that will last. Everyday wholesale pricing on time-tested major brands that have proven themselves at 50 below zero. Call 699-9633 and ask for Steve for your best solution at Glass Solutions.
Get your garage back, people. Great news, everybody. Independent Rental Storage has 20 and 40-foot containers to help with all your storage needs. We have two locations, one on Cushman and our new storage yard on Chena Pump. Or we can bring a container to you. With prices starting at $150 a month, Independent Rental Storage has the space you need. Call us today, 456-6595. Independent Rental Storage. Safe, secure, affordable.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for isolated rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, overcast skies. Highs level off around 61. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance for isolated rain showers. Lows level off around 45. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. And your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and we're doing open line. You got to help me out. Call in so I know what you're interested in and can talk about what everybody wants to talk about. Otherwise, I just have to yak on to the best of my ability. So if you want to call in, please do. The number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And we will take your call and see what we can do. So with that, I was talking about the school funding, foundation funding formula that the legislature is doing. Oh, and good news, we have a call. Good morning, you're on KFAR. And who am I speaking with?
Bob.
Bob, what can we do for you today?
Yeah, I don't listen to Problem Corner much because I think it's pretty much a useful show. You Republicans get on there and you run your mouth, talk a lot of crap, but they don't see no action when you go down to Juneau. Got me Republicans vetoed to override voted to override the governor's veto. Chronicles one of them.
I was one of them. Oh, to override, excuse me. No, I voted to uphold the governor's veto.
Yeah, well, the state of Lass is broke. I don't know why the people.
Yeah.
I don't. Why all they talk about, we talk about. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'm so fed up with I'm fed up with Republicans and Democrats both.
Well, and I can't blame you for that, but
I don't listen to mainly because I can't. Dave Prues might be away from the mayor, but he's the guy is when he gets on this radio show, he's just another rhino. And it's you guys, a lot of you Republicans need to talk crap. That's about all. Talk is cheap. That's why I'm fed up with both parties. I'm not a Republican nor a Democrat.
Yep. Well, you know, point well taken. I'll admit to that. It's a difficult process. Right now, if you will, in the legislature, effectively, the other side has the majority control, and it is hard to get through.
Well,
but we have to just...
The Democrats are communists, what they are.
Well, yeah, that in the objective sense of the word, they want collective control of more things, and I don't agree with that. I think we're better off letting people take care of their own problems. In education, for instance, one of the problems with funding for public schools is that the student count in, if you will, the brick-and-mortar schools has been steadily declining. On the other hand, we have had some success in correspondence programs and charter schools. And that's people like you who are just frustrated with the existing system.
Yep.
They're voting with their feet.
Yep.
And to the extent that they are taking care of their children's education needs for the state, that's good for the state. It's more parents getting involved with it. I like that. There's some... Well, that puts a burden. Well, it doesn't. It takes away a burden, takes away funding, but it forces the brick-and-mortar systems, shall we say, the neighborhood schools, they call them, to examine what they're doing. And I think that's one of the things that we really have to do. Just because we have been doing something for decades now doesn't mean that we need to keep doing it.
Yeah,
and
but not getting any better.
Well... Yeah, I would agree with that. But I saw in the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District, for instance, they have closed down several schools now, but they turned Nordale School into a correspondence program. They call it BEST. And that the enrollment in that school has increased pretty near 50% from 600 to 900 students in that school.
In Nordale?
In Nordale. They're using that school, yes. And they have children of every description, various needs, and they have different curriculums that they can offer, and they offer support to the parents. That's what makes public school work right in my mind. The parents are involved. That's why they chose to take a correspondence program. And we did that for our two children quite a few years ago now that they've graduated. But we enrolled our children in the IDEA program, which is offered by the Galena School District. The Galena School District is the one that kind of started a revival of correspondence programs in Alaska. Anyway, we chose the IDEA program simply because we wanted somebody to back us up. We took advantage of the testing programs offered, and that helped guide us through that. And then if there was something we weren't quite getting across to our two kids, we gave them a call, and they gave us some hints. Try this, try that. And the same thing is going on at Nordale for the BEST program. I was there actually last year. I haven't been there yet this year, but they had an open house, and I attended that. And there was a lady that was interested in correspondence and talking to one of the instructors, and she offered. She got in a conversation to find out what her skills were, what she thought she needed help with, and finally recommended a curriculum program, a set of books, if you will. And then at the end of the, she said, you know, try this. If this doesn't work out for you, we've got some other things to try. And that's why correspondence programs, I think, work very well for students and also for the public, because in effect, the parents are taking over also the financial burden for that. So we've got to think about things like that. There's been growth in correspondence schools, and that is helping out as well. So there is light at the end of the tunnel. Thank you. I've got another call, so thank you for that, and we'll go to the next one. Good morning. You're on Problem Corner, and who am I speaking with?
Tom Kennedy.
Tom Kennedy, how are you doing this morning?
Very good, very good.
Good.
Moose hunting is out there. I'm still here in town, but life is good. Applauding GVA, they're clearing out all of the potential storm trees, and they're doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, my big thing is just to, again, reiterate what I really say is that there's too much redundancy in their education department. They need to make one curriculum for the whole state. They did that back in the 80s when I went to school. We were the number one school in the number one rated system of education. Alaska's high school graduates scored higher than all the rest in the whole nation.
Mm-hmm.
We had really a strong system of education back then. We have little fragments of it, but it's not there as much because of just government obstification. And what that means is we have our own department of curriculum. So does the Yukon-Koyukuk School District.
Right.
So does Galena. Mm-hmm. So does Nenana. That's just in one town. We have like five or six different departments of curriculum.
Right.
Those are all people that are pulling down six-figure salaries to run their programs.
Yep.
And so if we just have one department of curriculum, one established curriculum for the whole state, there's none of this stuff that's just kind of going out the window. Number two, we really do need to look at what teachers make authentically, you know, just like what does a starting teacher need to have to survive?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a teacher that's been teaching for 30 years, are you really worth $136,000 to $140,000 when a starting teacher basically makes less than the lead worker, the lead cook in a McDonald's? You know, mm-hmm. there needs to be more parity in that job.
Mm-hmm.
And so that needs to happen. The other thing is we need to look at, you know, the different lines or streams to produce good workers. You know, they need to have MSHA training, safety training for the trades right in high school. That's a class.
Mm-hmm.
Kids don't need to go out and pay money to do that. We need to have CDL programs that can train truck drivers right there in school. You know, when they turn right at the necessary age to operate trucks, they can. And so we need to look at the whole thing top to bottom, but what we need to do is remove bureaucracy.
I go along with that. The other side, people want, or they say they want, local control. But right now we have kind of conflicting pressures, at least at the state level. There are federal curriculum requirements if you want to keep accepting the federal aid that comes along. And then we have the state expected to fund whatever program that the local districts come up with. And the local districts are not considering the cost of that.
Yep.
And there are different situations. I'll go along with that. But that all has to be looked at because ultimately the state is providing, give or take, two-thirds, of the funding for school districts.
Sure.
And we're running into one regulation, running into another. A really crazy one is the state is imposing a minimum requirement, minimum contribution, required local contribution, there was the word I was fighting for, on the organized boroughs, municipalities.
Yep.
And that is costing the Fairbanks North Star Borough a considerable amount of money relative to other boroughs and also to the unorganized districts. And the unorganized districts especially don't have any incentive to contain the cost. So a possible compromise is that the state comes up with the curriculum that applies to all.
Yeah.
And then the local districts can go on.
Can I talk to you after break? Just I know you have satellite bumper going. I need to get into the whole thing of the drift of teachers moving from Fairbanks down to Anchorage and Mat-Su.
Yes. So, yes, if you hang on, we do have the satellite taken over for us. And there's going to be some local news and some weather and some words from our sponsors who make the program possible. But, yes, hang with us, and we will be back after these messages.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. U.S. Space Command is moving following a years-long back and forth.
Reversing a Biden administration decision, President Trump is announcing the U.S. Space Command headquarters will be relocated to Alabama. Space Command has been based in Colorado Springs, Colorado, but in 2021, an Air Force review identified Army Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville, Alabama, as the preferred location.
Fox's Jared Halpern there. Lawmakers back on Capitol Hill after their summer recess for what's expected to be a chaotic month.
Expect a month of pandemonium as lawmakers battle over government funding, President Trump's nominees, even the Epstein file.
Fox's Chad Pergram. Israel mobilizing tens of thousands of reservists. The move comes ahead of an expanded offensive in Gaza City. Israeli forces also pressing forward in northern and central Gaza. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Scott Robb, the owner of the Guinness World Record for the largest green cabbage ever grown, added another medal to his collection last Friday with his third win at the Alaska State Fair's Cabbage Weigh-Off. Alaska's news source reports the Palmer native's entry came in at 84.2 pounds, barely half of the gargantuan 138.25 pound cabbage that netted him the win and the world record, which stands to this day at the 2012 State Fair, but still enough to clear the competition by 4 pounds. Second place went to the 80.7-pounder grown by 8-year-old Paul Dinkle of Wasilla, who also finished runner-up to Rob in 2024. It's not any one thing, Rob said when asked what his secret was. It's a myriad of all different things, and it all has to come together. The most important thing is having the right seed. The top growers create their own seeds across different varieties. The junior division victory went to Willow's Hunter Sterling. Boy, an 84-pound cabbage. That's a lot of coleslaw and sauerkraut.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
If you're a shooter, you know that the one thing you always need more of is ammo. But with today's prices, you feel like you have to take out a second mortgage just to stay proficient. Well, not anymore, thanks to 907ammo.com. 907ammo.com is your locally owned and operated outlet for a wide variety of calibers at a great price. And if you live on the road system, delivered right to your door. Go to 907ammo.com right now and put it in the cart, pull the trigger, and see it on your doorstep in just a couple of days. 907ammo.com, the last frontier's online ammo delivery.
This is Mayor David Pruse. We've had an incredible 3 years together. I'm running for re-election as your city mayor. I've led our fantastic city in expanding our ambulance service, increasing the police presence, removing derelict and dilapidated structures, cleaning up blighted properties, and increasing our street maintenance and snow plowing services. The city of Fairbanks is the best run municipal government in the interior, if not the state of Alaska. I want to continue this for our wonderful city, so please vote for me, David Pruse, the Fairbanksan, on Tuesday, October 7th.
Paid for by David Pruse for mayor. 324 Brandt Street, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99701.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM,
and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. We have an open line, whatever's on your mind, but we have been talking about education. And Mr. Tom Kennedy, who knows a lot about the subject, stayed with us. Thank you for staying with us, Tom, and continue on.
So one thing that needs, I think Juneau needs to look at the cost of living in each community before it requires that contribution. And the reason is you know, the scale down in Anchorage and Wasilla is pretty much exactly the same for what teachers get paid mm-hmm. as it is here. Mm-hmm. And what happens is they pay, you know, $300 to $400 less a month in electricity and in heat. And because of that, you have a lot of folks that just say, hey, I can make more money down there. It's more take-home income living in Wasilla or living in Palmer or living in Anchorage than it is living here in Fairbanks. So we lose a lot of our very talented teachers to that. Mm-hmm. And I think if the state looks at it and says, hey, we're going to, you know, either pay the teachers in the Fairbanks area more through some kind of funding formula and require the local, contribution to be less, I think that would change things. You know, there are some places where they have just unlimited money. I think I heard a story about a girl out in Mead River who wanted to be a gymnast. So Arctic Slope, you know, they basically, North Slope Borough, you know, their school district, provided the kid $1 million a year for all their equipment and travel and everything for them to be a gymnast. We can't do that. We right. just can't. But what we can do is look at how can we minimize by restructuring some of the things that are big problems. One of the big problems that we have that not a lot of people talk about is, you know, that police presence, students learning right and wrong by having a SRO, a school resource officer in our buildings. Mm-hmm. I remember the year before they implemented the program of having NSRO, a Fairbanks police officer, you know, just patrolling the halls. We had 50 fights at West Valley just in 1 year. And the next year when the SRO was there, we had 4. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just had less problems at the school. And what happens is those administrators at the school, they're so bogged down in dealing with, you know, different things of, you know, hazing or whatever. When you have a visible police officer walking through the halls, when you have that kind of stuff happening, you don't have near the, you know, bullying, you don't have near the issues that you have. And those officers are kind of on the front line on finding out which kids are neglected, which kids can kind of slip through the, you know, if I have 40 kids in the class, I can't identify which kid is not doing well for being neglected. I'm just trying to stay ahead of the whole curve of all of them. Mm-hmm. But if you have a police officer that's talking to them that finds out those things, they really do a lot of good they harden the buildings. You know, you right. don't have near the traffic of people coming in and out of buildings that aren't supposed to be there. They really make the entire place better, and those SROs love that job because if there's an emergency, they can leave the school and take care of the emergency. But for the most part, they're there to, you know, basically harden the schools. And it releases a lot of the pressure from the administrators so they can do their job and aren't just being disciplinarians.
Right.
They really reduce bullying. And it's just thinking from that other way of thinking, like, how can we do it differently? How can we not get into this big spending mode where people decide how much they're going to spend? One of the big things, I heard about this, that they have a meeting about 1 week before they have all the administrators go into town and they meet and they talk, where mm-hmm. the Apple representative goes and talks to all the superintendents and all the administrators and gives them all the available programs. And then the administrators make the order for the next year for all the teacher laptops. They make the order for the Chromebooks. They make it for everything. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's just there's too much, how would you say, grease or too much kind of slime going on when it comes to expenses and expenditures and everything else. In the education system, and it needs to stop. We need to get to a system where it's fair, it's equitable, and there's parity. You know, that parity right. thing is big.
Yep.
I'll let you go, but all thank right. you for doing what you do.
Okay, and thank you for calling in and staying on it and getting some different ideas out there, because that's important. And the school resource officers, I believe, is what they were called. I kind of like that idea as well. I recall this is going back now 40-something years, 50 years. But when I was attending, I attended Lathrop in the early 70s. And there was lots of problems. The Vietnam War was going on. Civil rights was a big deal. And there were a lot of societal issues to be dealt with that then filtered into the school. And he mentioned there were a lot of fights. There were a lot of bullying. There was a lot of bullying. There we go. And that really did seem to help out. And, of course, it's getting the right person to fit that job. But the police at Lathrop, he was good at relating to children. He was somebody else there that kids could talk to and didn't have, the officers had a different way of dealing with the problems. And it seemed to work out pretty good. And as I recall, when North Pole High School opened, the new high school, that was in the late 70s, same thing. They had a resource officer from the North Pole Police Department, and he was just tuned in to dealing with we'll call them young adults. If you want to call them kids, that's okay too. But at any rate, he was really good at relating to kids, and that was a great great program, I thought. And I suppose it was a funding decision that resulted in that not being continued. But I think we should take a look at that, and maybe that is something that could be funded. I don't know, but it could be considered from the state level. And then also I think we, the legislature, who are charged with setting up a system of public education that is free to all, open to all. We're in charge of doing that. The state should have a, if you will, a state-required curriculum. And that is what we, the legislature, are expected to fund. And then there are all kinds of differences between one community and another, be it athletic programs or social-emotional learning, whatever. There's other things that are more acute issues to address at the local level, and that is something that, in my mind, that should be taken care of at the local level. And there's all kinds of ways to do that. We just figure on just sending the bill to the state at this point, and the state cannot make that many adjustments. So I think that is something that definitely needs consideration. And again, let's see, we are talking about anything that anybody wants to talk about. If you want to participate in the program, the number to call is 458-8255, and that's 458-TALK. And we will, let's see, continue on. Education, still with that. Some things, well, what's really important is for more people to get involved and get in touch with your representative. I know I really appreciate getting input from folks that live in the North Pole area, and of course I get a lot of calls just from the interior, and that's just fine. That really helps me to understand what's on people's minds and the different perspectives. And certainly you don't have to agree with me to call me. In fact, it's you might say that it's better if you don't agree with your representative, contact your representative and get a conversation going, and start focusing on things that we can change. What is the serenity prayer? Grant me the wisdom to know what can be done and the patience to know what can't be done and accept that. But focus on things that we can agree on. There's plenty that we can agree on, but the noise gets all on the things that we disagree on, and we get too hung up on things that we disagree on instead of looking for ways that we can agree and solve the problem one step at a time. So we are coming up to a quarter to the hour. That means we have to take a little break here for some local weather and some announcements from our sponsors who make this program possible. So to remind you, you're listening to KFAR Problem Corner, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your host this morning is Mike Prox, and we have an open line program, so stay with us through these announcements, and we will be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Frontier Outfitters' extensive shooting department has what you need for your next hunt. Rifles and shotguns by Browning, Ruger, Winchester, and more. Handguns by Smith & Wesson, Ruger, and many others. Ammunition and reloading supplies as well. Protect and transport your guns with gun boots by Kolpin and cases by Pelican. Be on target with optics by Swarovski, Bushnell, and Leopold. Preparing for your successful hunt begins with a trip to Frontier Outfitters. For Alaskan proven gear and clothing, trust Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle. Optimize your eyes with Mountain View Eye Center, Interior Alaska's choice for state-of-the-art eye care. Find relief with the most advanced dry eye center in the interior. See clearly and be free of your reading glasses and contacts for good. Optimize your eyes with Mountain View Eye Center. Surgeons Dr. Laura Kearsley and Dr. Jason Crosby specialize in premium cataract surgery, LASIK laser vision correction, and treatment of eye disease. All insurance accepted. Schedule your consultation. Visit MountainViewEyes.com.
KFAR weather.
Chance of rain today. Otherwise cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 61. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance of rain. Lows level off around 45. Slight chance for rain tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 63. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. This is your guest host, Mike Prox, for Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM, 97.5 FM. And thank you for staying with us. And pay attention to the sponsors of this program and stop by. Take a look at what they have to offer and let them know you heard about it on Problem Corner, because they're the ones that make this possible, and they offer a lot of great services for our community. So if you want to call in, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And we have been talking about education. I think we've kind of exhausted what I've been thinking about at any rate. But if you have some other ideas, give me a call. But we have a challenge. Education is one of the essential services. We have to pay attention to the next generation coming up. We have to, in order to give them opportunities to thrive and be contributing citizens and fill in. Some of us are getting towards retirement age, and there has to be somebody coming up to take our place for the next generation, and we want to make sure that that happens, and we want a good, solid education program. And I have been. I have actually got several calls from folks, teachers. That has been great. That gives me a good perspective. I know the local head of the NEA in Fairbanks gave me a call. We didn't think we had so much to agree on at the start of the conversation, but by the end of the conversation, we had a few things, common interests, that we could work on. And one of those, the discipline that was talked about earlier on the program, the teachers are not there to be disciplinarians. That, of course, is part of it, but they need some big help on figuring out what we can do when they have children who are just disruptive to the classroom and making it very difficult for them to provide a service to the other students that they have. And that's definitely something that takes some conversation, and it's important to get your views out there. If you have an idea or you see something that's going wrong, get in touch with your school board members and your state representatives, and let us know what's on your mind and see if we can work our way through that. And we have another call, so let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Hello?
Hello. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
My name's Tim.
Tim.
Hey, I have a complaint to make.
Okay.
I just went to Denali Park yesterday. How come the fuel in Denali is 20 cents a gallon cheaper than it is in North Pole or Fairbanks? And I thought you listen to the national radio and everything else, and they always keep saying how the price of fuel's gone down under $2, and we're still at $4.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Don't know is the short answer. The why they're able to sell fuel at one location cheaper than another, I don't know. I was in Anchorage a week ago, and I was surprised that the price of gas in Anchorage was 10 cents higher than the price of gas in Fairbanks. So that is a challenge. It is different market circumstances. We've audited that, looked into it a few times, and basically that's what it boils down to, is the market responds to different conditions, and sometimes it's higher here, sometimes it's higher there.
Yeah, but Three Bears and, actually it was Vitus I bought my fuel at,
mm-hmm.
and it was $3.79 a gallon at $4.19 in North Pole.
Yep.
That's 21, yes, 20 cents a gallon higher.
Yep.
And by the same company.
Yes.
And everybody else, as soon as somebody raised their price, everybody else raised theirs.
And that is
the price of heating oil at, like, the bulk plant is, it hasn't changed in probably a couple months.
Right. And
that's still coming out of the same places.
Yep. And, you know, they're trying, the businesses are trying to charge as much as they can get away with. And if they keep charging too much, somebody else comes in there and lowers the price, provides a better service. It goes up and down. But thank you for calling. I have another call. Let's go to that line two. And good morning. You're on Problem Corner. And who am I speaking with?
Oh, Roger that. This is Charles here. My father was an instructor at Lathrop, and I probably built some paddles that people used to do that kind of thing, paddling, like vice principal, principal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No vice principal or principal ever laid a hand on me, but I'm telling you, I built the paddles that were used for probably that purpose. So that's the Fairbanks attitude I have.
Yes. Well, there does have to be consequences, for sure. Yep.
I remember Father McGuigan put him in the ring, buddy. You put the gloves on, and this is over right here, and we're not going to talk about it anymore after this is over, and it's going to be over right here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I remember.
Yep. So,
I live a peace on earth. Mike.
Yes. All right.
Bye.
Very good.
Goodbye.
Right. Thank you for calling. Yes. Yeah, it is interesting how attitudes change and what have you. Corporal punishment is definitely frowned upon. I think there is some, well, we have to have more immediate consequences that fit the infraction, if you will. And for just screwing up, I guess, maybe kids need a talking to, but sometimes it's just plain rebellion to any sort of authority, and the teachers and the schools need to have more latitude to deal with that, because it at some point it gets out of hand, and the students are disproportionately disruptive, and they're taking away the ability of teachers to teach other students. Something parents need to get involved with. It's a challenging problem. All kids are a little different, but it is something that I think has gotten a little bit out of hand, that the students can control things in a way that is not appropriate, and the teachers do not have enough, the teachers and frankly the administrators do not have enough backup to deal with the problem. We have another call. Good morning, you're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Randy.
Randy, what's on your mind, sir?
Well, I only went to Fairbanks schools for 3 years. I went to Nordale in 1961 for the first grade, mm-hmm. and then I went to Ryan and Lathrop in 70 through 72 or so for the 9th and 10th grade, and then I left the state again, didn't come back again until I was out of high school, mm-hmm. back in 74. But in 61 at Nordale, they did use the paddle.
Mm-hmm.
I have personal experience with that, actually. And I thought it was, I didn't want it being used on me, but it really was a good idea, I feel. And I never heard anything about it. I can't remember anything about it mentioned or anything at Ryan or Lathrop High School in 70 through 72. So I don't know when they stopped the practice, but I think they should, at least in elementary school, consider bringing it back. I think it should only be used as a kind of a last resort backup measure. They should use other measures beforehand, and it should be done according to proper procedures, with the principal maybe or some designated person in the office doing it, with a witness and everything, and clearly laid out, what a person is getting it for.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my personal thought is if such a thing existed, more teachers would want to become teachers because they want to do the job that they, studied for, which is
right.
to teach kids, and they want some measure of respect. Any employee, whatever type of profession they're in, wants some respect and order and not just chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, they say there's a teacher shortage, and I've always had a cynical view, and this is just my own speculation, but I think the teachers' union probably does not want corporal punishment. And the reason is because to make it more miserable on the teachers, it makes it harder to get teachers, and therefore they must jack up the wages to attract the teachers, which means a bigger cut for union coffers. Now, that's just speculation. That's just my own theory, but that's what I think.
Well, it should be, really, part of the curriculum should be establishing proper respect for authorities. We live in a community where there's all kinds of other people around, and it is important for children to learn respect for authority. And then it's, of course, the responsibility of the authority to sit down and think about it. And punishment really is, you know, it's a means to an end, I suppose, but you want to, all of your efforts should be, whatever you do is there to help students, not just to solve an immediate problem. But we do have a problem of lack of respect for authority, and then children graduate from school and they get out into the real world and they find out that, nope, you can't have everything you want, you can't do everything your own way, and they do not succeed. And a lot of the other problems that we see in society is just that, people just not wanting to conform to society. And I get it. I'm all for personal liberty. But at some point, you're working to, well, we're all working to serve someone else. That's how a civilized society progresses. So you make a good point.
Thank you, and I agree with you.
All right, very good.
Bye.
All right. And I hear the music in the background. So that means the satellite's coming overhead and is going to be taking over the show, going on to bigger and better things. But thank you. We had a really good conversation. Thank you for all those who called in and added to that. And we will be back tomorrow, and we can continue on from there. But until then, sit down, think about your contributions to society. We'll talk to you later.
We're going in. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. Those words from President Trump a short time ago signaling he does plan federal intervention to fight crime in Chicago and Baltimore, despite resistance from Democratic city and state leaders, including Illinois.